You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Kyle Copeland, the founder and executive director of Armed Citizen Project. Kyle, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on, Dave.
Kyle, I read an article just recently, the headline being Free Shotguns Handed Out in Houston. Nonprofit group looks to curb crime with giveaways and training. I want to talk about that in detail in a moment. But before we do, for the benefit of the listeners, can you give them a little bit of background about who you are and the organization?
Sure. I just graduated in May with a master's in public administration from the University of Houston. I'm also a faculty currently at Rice University. And I've always been a policy guy that's really interested in the consequences and effects of policy. And this past January, I visited the home of a World War II veteran whose home was badly vandalized. That was part of the community effort that rallied around and fixed up this man's home. This is a 93-year-old veteran with two Purple Hearts, had lost his wife weeks prior, was at a doctor's appointment, two criminals had busted in, spray painted his walls, his furniture, his TV, ransacked the place. And seeing what those criminals had done, it really lit a fire in me. I started thinking about private solutions to the public problem of home invasion crime. And that's where I got the idea for the Armed Citizen Project. And we do two things. The first is we arm and train entire neighborhoods in high crime areas. Let criminals know that they're at an increased risk of bodily harm if they commit a crime in that neighborhood. And we're going to track and analyze the results in a multi-year, multi-city study. The other thing that we do is train and arm single women, single mothers, and the disabled. And those folks can come from anywhere. Across the country. And so we're a nonprofit corporation. We're completely dependent upon donations of others, and we use funds that we receive to create new responsible gun owners to teach safety and bring people the Second Amendment message.
That's beautiful. Let me just go through this article real quick. So it says here, a nonprofit group that offers free shotguns and firearms training to residents of high-crime areas has made a Houston neighborhood the site of its first gun giveaway. Residents of the Oak Forest neighborhood, which has been hit by a rash of burglaries and robberies, say they are grateful for the self-defense help. The Houston-based Armed Citizen Project says it's trying to show that putting more guns in the hands of responsible owners can help combat crime. And by the way, this is an Associated Press article from this past June. The organization, as you said, which plans to offer training classes in Dallas, San Antonio, and Tucson in the next few weeks, is working to expand its giveaways to 15 cities by the end of the year, including Chicago and New York. Organizers expect to train at least 50 Oak Forest residents and will put up signs saying the neighborhood is armed. And here's a quote from you. When we have a crime wave, we don't just say, let's increase police, and that's all we do. We do multiple things. I see this as one aspect of what we can do, said the group's 29-year-old founder, Kyle Copeland. Have you hit the big 3-0 yet, Kyle, or still 29?
Still 29, still sound young.
Good, hang in there. Area resident Sandra Keller said she is participating in part because of the helplessness she felt after her furniture store was robbed a couple of years ago. And of course, there's a quote from her. And here, this is an interesting part of the article, but others say research has shown that more guns result in more gun-related deaths rather than less crime. Opinions among local officials are mixed. Houston City Councilwoman Ellen Cohen, who represents Oak Forest, said she has serious concerns about more guns in homes. David Hemingway, a professor of health policy and management at the Harvard School of Public Health, who has written about firearms and health, says studies suggesting gun ownership deters crime have been refuted by many others that say the opposite. And there's a quote by this guy. Let me ask you this first. I'm not too familiar with Houston. I'm sure most of the listeners aren't. Now, Houston's a huge city, but this particular neighborhood, Oak Forest, what is significant and unique about that?
Well, the section of Oak Forest that we chose, we can't arm all of Oak Forest. We don't have the resources to do it. We've selected an area that has recently had a high amount of home invasion crimes that also has a lot of owner-occupied folks that have been in this neighborhood for a long time. They've seen the crime rate increase. They've seen their property values go down. And the area that we chose has about 400 homes in it. They had 107 home invasions in this area last year. It's a little more than a quarter.
Wow.
And so we've gone in, we've offered every resident there, if you can pass a background check, if you take and pass our training course, we'll give you a free pump action shotgun for home defense. Yeah, all the data took us to this neighborhood. It really fits what the Armed Citizen Project is trying to do. And the support that we've received from that community has been overwhelming.
Now, are the criminals coming from Oak Forest?
That's always hard to tell. But yes, there are some apartment complexes very nearby that a lot of the residents have told me. A lot of the criminals come out of those areas. A lot of the folks that came to Houston right after Katrina and just kind of stuck around, and that really saw Houston's crime rate really increase, especially home invasion crimes.
And those are the most dangerous. Are they mostly Black and Hispanic criminals?
I don't know what the exact data is because there are times when these folks don't get caught. So we only have the data for the ones that do actually get picked up. And it's kind of a mix. That neighborhood itself is a mix in its own. I believe it's about 35% white, 35% black, and the remaining Hispanic. It's a pretty good cross-section.
Mm-hmm. This article where it talks about differing opinions, I mean, I've read statistics and I'm pretty familiar with the numbers. It seems to me that it's very clear where there's more guns, there's less crime, because obviously that's a deterrent. Do you know what these people are talking about? Why do you think they're saying this?
The Harvard guy, he's saying that because his study right now that's out is the new version of the Kellerman study. For anyone who understands firearm statistics, the Kellerman study is that bogus, you know, you're 43 times more likely to be injured or killed by a firearm if you have a firearm in your home. Well, the fact of the matter is that statistic is completely outrageous. It factors in the 65% of all gun deaths that are suicides. So if I go out today, buy a handgun, go home, and turn it on myself, then I am just listing a stat as the gun just caused that to happen. But additionally, many of the times, I believe upwards of over 50%, the gun that was used to commit the violence was not the gun that was kept in the home. So if you have a gun in your home, a criminal comes in and shoots you, thanks to the Kellerman study, your gun that you keep legally was the cause of you getting shot. And so when you run the numbers and you look at the Kellerman study or this recent Harvard study, it's just a bunch of garbage masquerading as serious research, which it isn't. The left has done a very fantastic job manipulating data and controlling these research departments across the country. You know, there are studies out there that only take into account three counties that were cherry-picked in order to further the left narrative. But when John Lott does a comprehensive study of over 3,000 counties in the United States that can directly prove a causal link, all of a sudden we're not wanting to talk about serious statistics. And so one of the biggest stats to me is the difference in hot burglaries between the U.S. and Canada and U.K. A hot burglary is when a criminal breaks into a home that's currently occupied. So obviously the potential for a violent encounter is there. If a criminal breaks into a home that's occupied, they're brazen, they're willing to commit an act of violence because they may be met with a resident. In the UK and Canada, 45% of all burglaries are hot burglaries. In the United States, that number is only 15%. And this number really validates our hypothesis, which is that criminals have no intention of dying in your hallway. We believe that society should use their fear to deter crime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know this old saying, there's three kinds of lies. Have you heard that?
Lies, damn lies, and statistics.
There you go. You're a smart guy, Kyle. I like you. This particular Houston City Councilwoman, Ellen Cohen, are you familiar with her?
Somewhat. We actually called her office quite a bit after that. She's one of those politicians who likes to run down guns and gun rights, but then follows it up with the caveat of, but I support the Second Amendment, but I support self-defense. And people that have been affiliated with my organization, we've grown really tired of politicians running down our rights and then following it up with that caveat as if it alleviates what they had just said. To me, that's blood in the water. That is a politician coming out saying something they probably shouldn't. They realize it, and they throw in this little caveat. Well, I don't believe that she supports the Second Amendment. I don't believe she supports the right of self-defense. If the idea of more guns in homes seriously concerns you, then where would you like to see them? On the streets? Where else should we have guns? So that's one thing that we pulled Ellen Cohen when we called her office is that, listen, it's obvious that Ellen Cohen does not support the Second Amendment, does not support the right to keep and bear arms.
You know, it's pretty clear to anybody who pays attention to this whole gun matter that's been going on, well, at this level since Sandy Hook.
Mm-hmm.
That the politicians and the organizations that are coming out for gun control are clearly, and that's why when I saw this Houston City Councilwoman Ellen Cohen, I mean, that's a Jewish name. They're clearly Jewish. Have you noticed that?
Some of them are, yeah. I guess I haven't really noticed. We've had the Sheila Jackson Lees of the world come out against us, too. So really, it's been the extreme fringe left. And I say extreme because, you know, the anti-gun folks on the left, like the Piers Morgans of the world, often say that they're just against assault weapons or just against high-capacity magazines. Well, okay, my organization's doing background checks. We're doing legal safety and tactical training. We're giving out defensive shotguns for home defense. If someone comes out against what we're doing and says it's inherently wrong, then I automatically know that that person is just against the private firearm ownership, period, end of story. And that's been a really great thing about our organization because it's been really tough for the left to try to find a way to criticize us while still maintaining that appearance of being the moderate that they like to cast themselves as.
Yeah. You should take a look at that, though, the statistics between the people who are for gun control and the fact that the majority of them are Jewish, especially in Congress. It's pretty drastic, and it's something that can't be ignored. So this is something that I think you should look at simply because these are the people who are going to be coming after you.
And they have been. Mike Bloomberg in New York, once we announced that we were expanding into New York, he announced that he'd do everything he can to keep us out. You know, New York may be the least American city in America, but it's still in America. So they've actually said that they're going to use the city's permitting process, which the city claims to have the right to deny someone a permit for any reason, moral and affiliation shortcomings, even if you don't have any background problems. Their police commissioner, Ray Kelly, has said that they will deny people permits that are affiliated with our organization, and I hope to God he's not bluffing, because I don't think I can get a court up there to stand for the Second Amendment, but when the Second Amendment is being trashed by violating the right of free association, there I think we have a case, and so I hope they're telling the truth about their intentions.
That would be good. Let's move on to your organization. A lot of this you said already, and that's great. I just have some specific questions. You say here, all participants that wish to receive a weapon and take our training will receive one breakover 20-gauge shotgun, which holds one shell at a time.
Oh, no, that's old.
So what do you have now?
We give out pump-action shotguns, 12-gauge and 20-gauge, because the sound of a shell being racked is the universal sound for get out of my house. It's more substantial than the breakovers. The folks either have 5 or 6 shots. Just all-around great weapon, but the deterrent effect of racking a shell is certainly present and an excellent thing to have. You could be an alien from another planet, land in a cornfield in the middle of Arkansas, hear that behind you, and know that you messed up. It's instinctive. It cuts into your spine, that sound. The pump-action shotgun is absolutely the way to go. That's my home defense weapon. I own several handguns and rifles, but my go-to for home defense is my Remington 870.
This pump-action shotgun, you said that's either 12 or 20. How many can it hold?
It depends on whether they want to keep one chambered or not. The shotguns that we're arming folks with, they hold 5 in the tube, and then, of course, you can have one chambered if you would like as well. So it has the potential to hold as many as 6 shells.
Okay, that's good then, because one wouldn't be enough sometimes.
No.
You said that this is a nonprofit and that you depend solely on donations for the organization's existence. Is that who pays for the guns themselves?
Yes, exactly. So the funds that we receive directly train and arm people with brand new pump-action shotguns. So that's where we get all of our funding, but we're also expanding into accepting firearm donations as well.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of like people turning in their guns to the cop so they can get cut up and melted down. This is even better.
Well, yeah, it's a lot better. Well, one, we're not a no-questions-asked. When people in New Jersey do a gun buyback and pay $250 a gun, no questions asked, that actually encourages criminals to run out and steal my weapons in my home. I think that the state of New Jersey and some of those law enforcement officials that set up that buyback should be culpable for some of those gun thefts. But what we're doing is what we call our redistribution of firepower. So if someone has any old operable gun, I don't care what it is, as long as it works and as long as it's not a BB gun, we will accept that as a donation. We will in turn liquidate that gun. We have an auctioneer not charging us anything, and we will use those funds to buy brand new pump action shotguns, train and arm folks that live in high crime areas, especially single women, single mothers. The people who make the donation, though, will also receive a raffle ticket to win one custom painted AR-15 with a 3D printed 30 round mag. So it's a buyback you can believe in, and the first 100 people to donate used firearms to us actually get to pick who we train and arm. Everyone has that single mom that lives down the street, or the widow next door, or the retiree that you know. And a lot of us have that old 30-30 or that old Marlin Model 40 in the back of the closet. Well, we're just asking people, we're facilitating, hey, let's turn that into a new empowered gun owner. Let's protect the person that you care about in your life. And so we're really excited. It's our redistribution of firepower. It's Biden's love of shotguns with Obama's love of redistribution. Therefore, it transcends politics.
Guns are just a tool. That's what I tell my family. Hopefully you'll never have to use it, but it's there if you need it. I don't know why they're so much against a tool, but that's time for another debate or another discussion.
Well, absolutely. And another thing that we do, whoever we train and arm, we invite them to bring others from their family. We don't want to just train one person from that household. For example, we've trained and armed a 40-year-old woman who brought in her 12-year-old son, and we trained him as well in safety and how to use it, because you never know if he's going to be left home alone. You want him to know how to use that firearm, but you also want him to understand the safety and to minimize the chances of an accidental shooting occurring. And so we're training anyone that we can, and we're really trying to create new responsible gun owners, keyword responsible. All the gun stats that the left likes to throw out, the biggest manipulation that they do is that they never separate responsible gun owners from criminal gun owners, and we're only arming the responsible folks.
When was the exact date, Kyle, when you handed out your first firearm?
When I handed out my first firearm, I believe that was on March 2nd, I believe. I just came up with the concept for Armed Citizen Project July 23rd. So we've hit the ground running. I've been fortunate enough to know a lot of people who are passionate and excited about freedom and liberty as much as I am. And I've really utilized those connections and really built this thing quickly. And it's been fantastic, the volunteers that we have that have made this work.
Now, you said July 23rd of last year, then.
January 23rd.
Oh, January. I'm sorry. I misunderstood you. Okay. You found founded the organization on January 23rd of 2013, right?
Yep, that's when I had the idea, and right away I bought the website and it started moving.
Okay, and then on March 2nd was when you distributed your first firearm?
Thereabouts.
Okay, so that's 5 months ago. So how many firearms have been distributed in 5 months?
We've trained and armed 50 individuals so far. My goal is to train and arm 1,000 gun owners this year, and I think it's entirely possible. We've now got directors in other states like Illinois and Florida and Arizona who are getting this thing off the ground, and I think we're absolutely going to train and arm 1,000 people this year. We're going to be in 15 cities by the end of the year, and during the month of August, we're going to train and arm 500 women nationally all in 1 month.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that. Can you elaborate upon that?
Sure. It's our National Empowerment Month. We are fighting the liberal war on women, one free shotgun at a time, and so we're reaching out to folks all across the country trying to find volunteers at ranges and gun shops and finding volunteers who are willing to help us teach and to help raise funds to train and arm members of their own community. I believe that with the team we have in place, with the directors we have in place, that we're going to be able to do that. And I'm really excited about finding new volunteers as well who want to be directors of their own areas. We're using this as a chance for us to kind of vet and feel out our city and state directors in the other areas. And so this is going to lead us to have those directors in place in their own cities that will then be able to train and arm entire neighborhoods in their own community.
And I guess the best way for them to get in touch with you is from your website, armedcitizenproject.org.
That's correct. And we're also on Facebook, Armed Citizen Project, and on Twitter at ArmCZN Project.
Okay, so here, I'm looking at the website, and there's the logo, Armed Citizen Project, ACP. I was wondering what that 12 in GA was. I was thinking Georgia, but now I get it. Like you said, deterring crime by empowering neighborhoods. But I like that little slogan you came up with. What was that again?
We're fighting the liberal war on women, one free shotgun at a time.
You have a raffle here to win a Remington 1911.
Absolutely, yeah. We just got our first order of Armed Citizen Project t-shirts in a few weeks ago. So we're really excited about that. So folks that buy a t-shirt through our online store will be given a chance to win a Remington 1911, 45 caliber, beautiful gun.
One last question. Have you heard from the 50 people that you got the guns to? Any stories? Do you want to hear from these people? Is that part of your program?
Oh, absolutely. We conduct follow-up with them. A lot of them have reached out to me, but mainly it's been to thank me. They really appreciate the training and the instruction and the fact that they feel empowered now in their own home. We have a lot of people that we've trained and armed with a pump shotgun that we consider a gateway gun that have now gone out, bought a handgun, signed up for a concealed carry class, joined the NRA. So once that Second Amendment is tangible in their hand, all of a sudden it's something that means something to them. And so we have people that were apathetic about gun rights before. And now at work, when people start running down gun owners, they step up and they say, hey, wait a second, I'm a gun owner. I'm not going to let you get away with this. And so that's one of our favorite things that we're doing, is that we're creating new Second Amendment advocates. That's what we're trying to do, is keep people interested in freedom, make people interested in Second Amendment, make them appreciate their Second Amendment rights. And in doing so, we're creating people that are going to join our fight, that are interested in preserving these rights for future generations. If we just train and arm our cousins, our neighbors, and our friends, we may go the way of the dinosaur. We need to reach out and find these people that have a terrible misconception of firearms that's a product of Hollywood and the media, and we need to just offer them training. Once they come out, once they have the gun in their hand, and they realize it's not what they thought it was, you've just changed a mind on guns. And I believe that about 50% of the people that have signed up to take our trainings have done it just for the novelty of it. Just because we have the free trainings, they don't really anticipate taking the gun. We've only had one person walk away and decide not to take the free shotgun. I think that that's been really exciting to us, to seeing these folks come in kind of uneasy about firearms and not really sure where they stand. And once they're ready to leave, they're smiling ear to ear and just feeling so empowered and leaving with that sense that they are now going to feel secure in their own home.
Kyle Copeland, the founder and executive director of Armed Citizen Project, I want to thank you so much for the time you took to explain all this to listeners, and looking forward to following the progress of your organization and talking to you in the future.
Thanks for having me on. I look forward to coming back.